Thank you. Trying to validate me, huh? Very, very glad to see you in Wichita. All due respect to Wichitans present, it's very good to see some friends in Wichita. And have the town brightened up. These lectures are being given possibly to an extinct species, or a species soon to be extinct, evidently. I don't want to overestimate the data which has been accumulated in Dianetics since I last talked to many of you. I don't want to overestimate it. What, for instance, would you give for a process which in a few hours would turn off any and all psychosomatic illnesses? Well, that would have some small value, wouldn't it? It would have a slight value. Well, that is incidental to this series of lectures. Two reasons why I'm glad to see you all here is, one, I hope you will go back from whence you came feeling much better than you came. That should be fairly simple. And with the task of processing, plus the task of learning some of this, we've got a busy week here. There really is no great trick to effort processing. It's fairly easy. Main trouble is going too far with it. Pretty clear goes up in a puff of smoke. And this is embarrassing. We haven't seen this happen yet, but we expect to at any moment. Completely aside from effort processing, we have here now something which is a mathematical science. Mathematical. The test of a science is, does it need phenomena which does not exist in fact in order to prove itself? Does it explain existing phenomena? And will it predict phenomena which, when looked for, will be found to exist in fact? Well, these axioms do that with an insidiousness which has got two or three of the boys sighing because there's no randomity left. There isn't any variability. It's going to be dull from here on. But those of you who have been in Dianetics, lo, these last 18 months or less, are fortunate to this degree. You'll never see anything like this again. Good thing, huh? But you will have knowledge. You will have examined phenomena which is very, very doubtful will ever be examined again to amount to anything. Anywhere along the line, we had something in Dianetics which was better than anything that existed, but we didn't have a complete codification of it. Took quite a little while to find out what codification was needful and necessary in order to deliver it into the hands of individuals who could use it effectively and invariably. There were some wild variables in the way I processed. I used to use a technique of trying to give the preclear back to himself, which I don't think is codified anywhere. Those of you who have seen me audit with the old technique probably will have recognized it, though. You know what you're doing. What are you asking me for? That type of validation of self-determinism, continual hammer and pound on that subject. Well, it was not recognized by me that this was a considerable variable, and yet it was. Since auditors who did not have this wish, perhaps, to deliver self-determinism into the hands of the preclear himself, or who did not really realize how to do so, since it was something you sort of learned, like wiggling your ears, might not have had as swift results. As a consequence, the last year and a half has been mainly a study of what auditors had to know in order to produce results. And every time a new codification of technique was made in order to communicate it, lo and behold, some more data fell out of the hat. And it kept doing this. It's very embarrassing. The more you studied, the more you knew, the more you codified, the more you had to work with, and the more you worked with them, it got people pretty dizzy sometimes. But we were following along a strangely single line path. It has been a very straight path, actually. Hasn't been very much variance to it. But there's been change in emphasis. The first really new data that dropped out when an examination was made of language. And then when an examination was made of theta with new mist. Theta and mist. Getting theta back out of n theta and so forth. That theory developed a little data. And the great, big, huge, enormous datum that fell into our laps was the fact, which is extrapolated from these other axioms, that every thought is preceded by a physical action. This meant that all language is a symbolization of physical universe actions. And if this is true, then all you had that was valid anywhere along the line was effort. All the mind did was calculate efforts. When it miscalculated them, it got in a bad way. It became invalidated. And how did it become invalidated? By miscalculating an effort. Then, therefore, the mind's effort to postulate and calculate efforts was obviously the center button. I have said many times to classes in Dianetics, I'm looking for the center button. The button which, when pushed, will blow up something on the order of New Mexico. Well, the invitation of this conference went out in the understanding that we at least had the larger button under our thumbs. And that we have at the present time. Now, the last day or so, here, you may have been told something or other by the boys in research. It's always unfortunate for anyone to talk to anyone in research. I remember going to Kansas City and finding a research preclear, Lamar Dye, spinning slowly, quietly, sadly, but spinning. And audited him for a little while. Found out they'd been auditing him on three levels. They were giving him straight wire. He was doing freewheeling. And he was running incidents on the track all at the same time. And the research had set this up as a means of finding out if it could be done. Then they found out that it could be done, and then they said, well, guess we'll go on to another pre-clear. Lamar Dye went back to Kansas City. And last fall, I got into his case and found out that he'd been left parked in birth for a long time. And this is unfortunate. He'd gained about 20 pounds, or 25 or 30 pounds. And I triggered the grouper out of this, and he evidently straightened up, and I think he's still in good shape now. But the point is, let's wipe out now all of the rumors and the statements that you may have heard from the research boys. Because these are probably as much in a line calculated to worry you as anything else. Well, they've been working in research upon a theory whereby you make a guy well if you invalidate him enough. And a couple of other things. There's always, though, a radio set back in the research laboratory, which is in advance of the radio set, which is on the assembly line, and it's being sold. You know this very well. Well, probably this will always be the case in Dianetics. But right now, I can tell you, bluntly, that we have entered into what is known as the second echelon of processing. The first echelon was buttoning up the first dynamic. It took us as far as why, but it didn't tell us why. At why, you turn around quietly and look out, and you can now see how. And you can see it with great clarity. And here are 100-and-some axioms that tell you how it comes about. Not all these axioms are necessary by a long ways. But they are axioms. They're a mathematical axiom. They will extrapolate into some interesting material. They can tell you then how, and in addition to that, give you a process, a codified process, which you can use on pre-clears, which will produce, if not always an absence of the pre-clear, at least an absence of certain chronic somatics. You who have been working with words, mainly, and with boil-off, mainly, will be interested in this data. Every thought is preceded by a physical action. Every word is merely a definition of a physical action. Words are symbols of action. Words are symbols of motion or lack of motion in the physical universe. Those are words. Now, any time, and you know this by your experience, that you process delusion or illusion in a pre-clear, he goes down the tone scale. Anytime you start validating dubbin, he starts going down. You know this by experience. The same thing happens with processing words. You process words, your pre-clear will go down the tone scale. What you want to do is process the action defining the word, and you will process the words. Now, the actions defining the words are very easily found, but there's something much easier behind all this. You can just start processing gunshot on the effort to postulate or effect action. That's all you have to do. And you'll shoot the whole bottom out of the vocabulary, so that the vocabulary is no longer very effective. I wish to call this to your mind, too. Every time you see somebody who is very anxious about words, you see somebody low on the tone scale. Have you ever been around somebody who continually corrected you in your speech? You say so-and-so, and they correct you. You say so-and-so, and you correct you. Just neglect the idea entirely, but correct the words. When you start to sing a song, they say, no, that isn't the in the second line of that song. That's an of. And you finally admit, yes, it's of, and they sigh with relief. That comes from an axiom, which we will cover. One does with words and regards words and all thoughts and all symbolisms of thoughts just as he does the physical universe. So if a person has to hold on to material objects very hard, he'll also hold on to words. If he has been beaten down into a point where he will give great care, painstaking care to physical objects, he will also take care of words. Therefore, he mustn't violate these words. And this is a very low level on the tone scale. Word processing came from sources of that sort. They started validating words too heavily. Words, 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 rather than the action. You notice in the first book, it talks about kinesthesia, it talks about visio, it talks about sonic movement on the track and these other things. Out of those things, many individuals selected only words to be processed. Now, this was very bad for processing. You start processing words in a pre-clear and you start validating. Every time you start that, you're telling him, this is what's wrong with you. You can't process all the words out of the bank. The English language is in any reactive bank two or three times over. Try and process all that out. You've really got a job in your hands, so don't try it. Devil with it. Process out the effort, and don't even process out the highly specialized efforts Like, what is the effort behind the word don't? That's too slow. Now, very probably, the technique which you will be using in effort processing will be just the technique on an event level. You will find an event, and you will process the effort out of that event. I can tell you how to do that very rapidly. Nothing much to it. You get the pre-clear in contact with an event. You want to know his effort to understand this situation as he runs through it. His physical effort to understand, getting to re-experience his physical effort as he runs through this incident. And first thing you know, you'll have him in a complete apathy. Great. Now when you've got him there, roll him through again and get his effort, when it's due to come up, to not understand his surroundings. And you'll find that his reality turns up like turning a rheostat on a radio, turns up volume. Understanding is basically ARC. Out of affinity, reality, and communication, you can make every mathematical computation or mathematics known to man. Understanding subdivides into affinity, reality, and communication. You know this from old books. We needn't go into this too much because we've covered it again in the axioms. But the point is that a person is forced by counter-efforts to agree. Now he's agreeing with a counter-effort. He becomes more or less the counter-effort and goes out of valence. There's the valence mechanism. Now you've got to get his effort to agree in order to get him back in valence. The second you got him in valence, then you can get his effort to disagree, and the incident will blow. It's fairly rapid. Furthermore, although we were producing considerable results by taking the perceptions of engrams, it's nothing. There are 5,000 gallons of theta releasable by processing effort. For every one there is releasable. We've been doing it the hard way. Been picking this stuff up with a pair of small tweezers, trying to clean a desert of grains of sand with a very small pair of tweezers. It's been tough work. And even that made pre-clears feel better. It did things for them. But there's so much more that can be done for them. Now, I also want to touch this brief little introductory mention here. I also want to touch on something that you're going to run into with effort processing, whether you like it or not. I'm reminded that Aldous Huxley told me that a woman by the name of Fuller, I think it was talking to Carlyle, and she said that she frankly made up her mind to agree with the physical universe, and Carlyle said, "Well, you damn sight better had." We've had a lot of yak about past deaths. Well, I'm awfully sorry to have to tell you that you're going to be up to your ears in the second that you start any effort processing. Unless you're very careful, and if you want to do it the hard way, you can work and just use all your attention units and be very careful all the way along the line and make sure that your pre-clear doesn't go out of this life. It's tough to do, but you'll be able to do it if you're awfully careful. Now, I can give you a straight wire which will make it easy to keep the pre-clear in this life. It's fairly easy, unless you use it too long. And then you go back straight wiring into the other life, which is unfortunate. And so you want to be careful about this. We are talking about phenomena, not opinion. Big difference. It may seem horrible to some of us that there seems to be a life cycle going on whereby you kick the bucket so you can learn something and then get born again only for the process of kicking the bucket so that you can get born again. This is horrible. They've been talking about it in that terrible and detestable field called reincarnation. It is very unfortunate that a bunch of crackpots used this one way back where, because now we look at it and we say, oh no. It's like the same way I felt when I looked at prenatals. First time I said, oh, no. What a dirty trick for the physical universe to play this one on me. It was bad enough when I was running them into birth, but prenatals. And then sperm and ovum sequences, oh, no. And now it's past deaths, oh, no. If you use effort processing, you'll snap somebody right into them. You ask them 5 or 6 questions, 8, 10 questions, start processing them, get the effort within the effort, and all of a sudden, boom, he's lying there and the dinosaurs are marching over him and all sorts of things. And you've taken this pre-clear off the street. This pre-clear doesn't know anything about reincarnation or past lives or anything. And you're just trying to fix up his lumbago. It's very embarrassing to an auditor to find out it was given to him by a dinosaur. It's also hard for the pre-clear to swallow. The point is that lumbago will go away. But if you say to him, no, no, we've agreed to the American Medical Association not to run any past deaths. And you'll just have to keep your lumbago. I'm sorry, refund his money and let him walk out the door. Well, that's the only alternative. On none of these people do you have to enforce any understanding of what's happening to them. You don't have to say, well, what you're running is a past death. They won't need any of that information. They'll gasp and sigh and choke. You have to know when they're in one. And you have to go ahead and process it out. It's a very, very nice thing, by the way, that when a pre-clear skids into one of these things, theta was released out of them just by the gallon. They jump up the tone scale like this. If you get all the effort out of a past death, it takes you some little time to run a past death. It takes you a couple of hours sometimes to get a past death completely clean, run out. Sometimes it takes you longer than that. If it's very late. But all you want out of it is that effort. That effort's got theta wrapped up in it. And if your pre-clear is stopped somewhere on the track, if he stops somewhere and it happens to be in a past death, why, you haven't got much choice about the matter. You'll just start asking him for the effort to like this chronic somatic. And he'll say, huh? And you'll say, yeah, the effort to like it. Well, now, can you get any inkling of any kind of an effort? You know how it is when you pick up a table, or you know how it is when you get up out of a chair. That's physical effort. Well, now, can you get any kind of a physical effort? It's sort of like teaching the wiggly's ear sometimes. Can you get a physical effort of a feeling of affinity for your mother there as she beats you? Something like this. All of a sudden, he'll turn this on. Oh, yes, yes. And all his tone will go, zong. Yeah, I can get that. Now, let's get the effort to agree with her as she beats you. And again, we get, zong. And you say, now, let's get the effort to communicate with her, the desire to communicate with her. Fellow will say, oh, I haven't got any. He's down in apathy. Now, you say, all right, now can you get any effort to disagree with her? And he's starting to get this, you see, in terms of physical motion. And it's actually the physical motion of wriggling around and so forth and trying to avoid the switch or just sitting still. Now you get this effort to like, to agree with, and so forth, and it's just, no motion connected with it. But you get the effort to dislike, then you start to get the action and the somatics. So you start in with no effort almost, and then you graduate up into actual effort. And when you start to get his effort to disagree with Mama, his reality on Mama will come up zing. Until, of course, you say, all right, now let's get the effort to make this effort, or something like that. And he'll very happily say, oh, sure. Now, can you get the effort to like this effort you're making? You see, you backed him up one step, and you... Sure, I... Engines. Don't show any surprise.
Just go ahead and say, all right, well, now, let's like this effort to look at these engines. But I don't like it. Well, all right, get your effort to dislike it, then. Reality turns up. He hears arrows going over his head, and he thinks he's in a cavalry picture, but it isn't. He's actually in the Stone Age. And, who cares? The point is, you just want to get all the effort off of this case. Wherever you get the effort off of this case, get it off. Very hard-boiled, uncompromising attitude, I'm afraid, but it's just the attitude of accepting what the preclear thinks is real as far as his efforts are concerned. Whether they're real or not, that's none of your business. That's his self-determinism talking. So you just let it run, you exhaust an effort completely, and you will find him going on up the tone scale. Various reasons why this happens, I will go into them explaining the axioms and so on. I just wanted to give you a brief resume and tell you what to expect. It has nothing to do with actually the quiet theme of these axioms on logic and so forth, whether or not past deaths exist. Any bright boy who looks these things over in a university and looks over the phenomena and finds that that phenomena exists can go ahead and examine the subject. Nothing is being said about past deaths or anything like that in these axioms as they are to be released. But it's obvious there have to be if the thing holds at all. And there are, in fact. So we let somebody else make the discovery. But you, as auditors, will find yourself confronted now with this phenomenon and the process which you're using, you will find very efficacious. You'll find out that you can turn off chronic somatics with it fairly easily. And so you're going to, whether you like it or not, occasionally turn up one of these past deaths. If you can avoid it, fine. If you can't, that's tough. Run it. And you're not even interested in how many words are spoken. You're not interested in anything like that. You just want the effort, that's all. Runs fast. Now, Dianetics is in a form of organization which is a logical step-by-step process. As far as its logic, its axioms, its explanations of human behavior, and so on. These axioms are embracing for the subject of Dianetics, not just Dianetic processing. These are the axioms of the first echelon of Dianetics. These will be organized in a book, and the first axioms will be across the page, top of the page in italics. Then there will be a little graph of some sort, and then an explanation of the graph, and then the phenomena which proves up this axiom, the logic behind it, how it joins other axioms, and then you go on, that's on one page. Then the next axiom is on the next page in italics with a graph, with an explanation of the graph, with the whole thing laid out, in other words, just like a geometry book. Now, this material is being organized in this wise. It's going to be put on the shelves of university libraries. The boys in psychology can have a good time with it. They can be very disgusted with it until they look and see that there's phenomena outlined and delineated there, which they can look for. Well, they like an empirical science, so they can go and see if this phenomena exists. Of course, that sinks them. Now, nothing is said in these axioms about past deaths as such. Nothing is said about various odds and ends of processing. Just phenomena is pointed out in order to point up the axioms. So there are two levels of instruction here that I'm trying to give you. One of them is just the axioms per se, so that you will know the subject of Dianetics. You'll know what it is. You'll have the axioms. Be able to say, yes, that means so-and-so. You can act very learned. When this book comes out, you can take a class of students, and you can say, well, I don't even understand it or not. You've got to get A in this course, just like they used to do with geometry, you know. And don't care whether you really agree with this or not. This is it. I mean, authoritarian level of teaching, if you want it. The point is that you'll be able to show your student the whole circuit
of the first echelon of Dianetics. You can show him where everything fits. Everything fits, and he can argue with you and try to get isolated phenomena that disproves this or that, and he'll come in at dragging, like he'd be dragging a dead horse, something out of psychology, and it says, every time a kleptomaniac cannot steal something, he burns down the house. That's one of the phenomena mentioned in psychology. And he'll say, well, now that's not covered by the axioms. Of course, it's just up to you to prove to him that a kleptomaniac does not always burn down the house, but maybe one did one time or another, and this was just an engram in operation. Now, what you know about the behavior of engrams is valid as the devil in terms of human behavior. It's just that processing is advanced on a mechanical level to a point where it can be ignored. But you know behavior, you know why people do these things, and nobody can take that away from you. The point in all this instruction is just to invite your level of understanding on this subject and to place in your hands, in as automatically codified a process as possible, a way to knock out chronic somatics or to free all the theta, which is in thetafied in the individual, if you want to take off 2 or 3 weeks and work somebody, or a couple of weeks anyway, or, well, a week. And I don't want to exaggerate, give you an idea that you can collect these for 3 or 4 weeks. It's working on one preclear. I don't know where you find all this stuff. I don't. Well, I think it might have been, in view of this process, it might be interesting to you, of course, to see demonstrations in it and so on. Hey, just discount anything wild that you've heard about. It's really awfully simple. Very, very simple. Not very difficult to follow. But I'll tell you this about it. It's very startling. You don't pay any attention to line charge, boil-offs. You occasionally get a yawn off of somebody. None of this in-mess manifestation will amount to anything. Because they're not necessary, because they're not contained in the body, you know. Those things are just theta facsimiles. There's facsimiles in theta, and why worry about them? What has been discovered is this. It's the preclear himself who keeps the engram in present time. He himself determines the engram into present time. When you knock out his determination to keep the engram in present time or hold on to the engram, it goes by the boards. Now, maybe after we've worked this for a while, we may get a complaint from the part of the celestial heavens, and here somebody will say, hey, what's the idea of kicking all these theta facsimiles loose so that they never can be picked up again? You're getting this whole place cluttered up with theta facsimiles. Well, we'll wait till we receive such a complaint. The point is that these things don't have to be run. That's what's been discussed. All that has to be run is a fellow's effort to agree and disagree, to have affinity with and not to have affinity with, to communicate and not to have communication with, in short, to understand or not to understand this engram. And that's a physical effort that comes from some earlier engram. All you do is knock out his effort with regard to the engram, and then all of the efforts and everything everybody said and everything everybody did and the NMS manifestations and so forth, these things go by the boards. That's lucky. That's just fine. So the stuff disappears. I don't care where it goes. Maybe it can be found again. I don't know. We haven't even bothered much to look for it. But as far as the preclear is concerned, you start peeling this stuff off of him, and he evidently sort of contacts a pure theta source somehow or other, and he starts rolling. Now, what I'd probably better do with this first lecture is just give the rest of a summation of this process and give you a little example of what I'm talking about so that you can follow the rest of this thoroughly, and then start in on the second period with the axioms 1, 2, 3, 4. probably be the handiest thing to do because I know you're curious about this process. Well, would you like to see more or less what its rough codification is? Now, you can take a preclear. You'll find out that he's resisting efforts. You call these counter efforts. Here's your preclear. Here's a counter effort. C, E. Now here, you have the resistance to that counter effort. That's a physical action resistance, and that's called self-determinism. Now, he has to keep some SD on this counter effort in order to keep it in place. Now, if you could just keep him from putting his self-determinism on that counter effort, why, he wouldn't re-stimulate. Here's the mechanism. Truck runs into him one Tuesday, dents his back somewhat, and he goes into apathy immediately, and he says, "All right, truck, I agree with you. Go ahead and kill me. I agree with you. I agree perfectly, and I'll communicate." And it hits him. He tries to stop time at this point because he's trying to stop the truck's motion, trying to stop the motion of pain inside of him and so forth. And he just holds on to time, or he wishes himself out of the time he's holding on to, or does both. So he apparently goes off someplace else, but he's still in the engram. And he forgets all about this. And one day, 5 years from now, he sees a red truck. He happens to be very tired that day. Same kind of a truck that hit him. He has scanners, evidently, in his mind in operation consistently and continually, and they scan. Is there anything dangerous about this environment? Is there anything dangerous about this? And all of a sudden says, wait, red truck. Boom! Oh, it's a dangerous truck. Good. I don't feel well. That's really the whole mechanism. Now, the auditor's mechanism is to take his scanner and go bing, 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 bing. The red truck engram goes boom. Because the red truck engram has still got his determinism to agree with the truck in it. And as long as that first engram had an effort to agree, his scanner in present time can switch down across the bank and it can find, hey, I agreed with this once. And it puts it right up here in present time. I'm in affinity now with being hit by a truck. A preclear wants to be hurt. There was an axiom in the first book. You couldn't call it an axiom, it was an observation. It said a person couldn't be aberrated unless he agreed to it. You remember that? Well, this self-determinism is his agreement with it. That's all there is to it. Now, your auditor will find in a preclear these counter-efforts. The preclear is madly holding a counter-effort out there. He's been holding it out there for years. He's agreeing with it. Agreeing with it puts him a little bit out of valence. You'll know why at the end of the week. If he agrees with it, he goes a little bit out of valence because he can't be himself and agree with it because it will kill him if he's himself. He has to disagree with it to be himself. But it's put him into apathy so he can't be himself. So here he sits just a little bit out of valence. So he's going like this. He's sneaking into valence a little bit and he gets hit. And he's out of valence. And he's been doing this for years. He never gets over where he can be hit by the truck, so he stays out of balance. That truck's the counter effort. Counter effort's always there. This is very easy for you to find in the preclear. Take a look at your preclear and find a physical deformity or a psychosomatic illness, and you've got a counter effort. Right there, bing. Either the preclear's bulged out at the spot to resist this counter effort, or he's caved in at the point of the counter effort. Glasses. There's something coming like this toward a person who has glasses. There's a counter effort here with which he has agreed. He has a self-determined effort that that counter effort be there. In other words, he has the counter effort here and he has an effort to agree with it. Because it put him in apathy, and the way you go into apathy, the way you get a kid to mind is to beat the devil out of him. Everybody knows that. As a matter of fact, I throw you all into apathy just by asking you to repeat, okay, I'll mind. And you go right down the tone scale. Boom.
because you're going toward a moment when you agree against your own survival. And you agreed because of a counter effort, basically. You didn't agree out of data. That's something else. That's another brand of ARC entirely. This is apathy ARC. We can distinguish it that way. Enforced agreement. So on. So, what you do is you look at a fellow who's got glasses and you say, what is the effort? Physical effort to understand any pressure you might have on your eyes. That's all you have to do. What's your physical effort to understand that? Don't do it, by the way. You'll go half blind right this minute. And you're getting to working on it. And getting to work on it and sweep it back and forth. Of course, there's no reality on it. He's out of valence. Well, now you'll find that as you ask him to resist it, it'll flick on for him, maybe. But, of course, agreement is practically no effort in his own position. So he can get over here out of valence a little bit or something. If you can coax him to be almost motionless, is where you'll find this counter effort. Almost motionless. Now start asking him, now, how does your right foot try to agree with this pressure on your eyes? How does your left foot try to agree with this pressure on your eyes? How does your left shoulder try to agree? How does your right shoulder try to agree? What does your right hand think about it? What is the physical effort of your right hand with regard to any pressure on your eyes? What is its effort to agree? The guy's attention will go here, 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 and all of a sudden, you've taken his self-determined attention, you pull it off of that somatic, so it hits him. Bong! And he goes promptly out of valence. And you say, all right, now what does your right foot feel about it? But every time you get that thing to come in, you exhaust it a little bit. So you just shift around his tension to various parts of his body, and his effort to agree, his effort to agree, his effort to understand, his effort to like, his effort to communicate with, all of these things, you keep running them anytime you want. All of a sudden he says, I don't want to communicate with this thing. All right, let's get your effort to disagree with it now. Now, let's go. And his tone will come right on up on that pressure, and then you take his glasses off and throw them in the wastebasket and take his, I don't know how much, whatever you charged him, and let him walk out. That would be fixing up a psychosomatic. Now, you'll find somebody has got a blemish of some sort. Maybe somebody has got a, something looks like a tumor, maybe. That's just a counter effort. That's all. And get his effort to understand it, his effort to like it, and his effort, his right foot to like it, or anything you want. There's many variations. I'm giving you the very simplest one. Get his efforts to like it. He'll turn on physical effort someplace. If a fellow can't get any physical efforts, by the way, you say, what is your effort to think? And why, just like everybody else, my effort to think is... Well, go on. Get your physical effort to think now. Well, it's just like everybody else. I mean, I grit my teeth. Well, go on and grit your teeth, you know, and all of a sudden, bong, skyrockets his physical effort to think. You'll find people have physical efforts to remember, physical efforts to do almost anything if they're very badly aberrated. Anyway, here is this counter effort on any kind of a shoulder tumor, something like that. All you do is take the fellow's self-determined effort off of it. First, his effort to agree, because he's in apathy about it, otherwise it wouldn't make a blemish on him. And then knock out his agreement, make him disagree with it. Reality will turn on in the sequence you're getting present time. That's all there is to it. If he went down past on the track afterwards, he wouldn't hit it. The trouble with locating counter-efforts and efforts is that you start locating efforts within efforts within efforts, and you march him right straight back down the time track. You wind him up in birth or anything else, it doesn't matter. Now, don't worry about where you wind up your preclear. That's just tough. Just don't worry about it anymore. Don't worry about winding him up in birth or any place or in operations and so forth, because effort won't stick him on the track the way other kinds of processing will, because it was only effort that could hold him there. First, you want to try to run early engrams, much better than running later engrams, but So what? Don't worry about it. Just ask for the effort. You'll get it. You won't hurt Preclear. You may have to work with him for a while. Now, working this on an event level, you work all the efforts out of a single event. If this fellow got hit by a truck, this fits best into your frame of experience. If you get the effort that connected with the truck hitting him, you work out the whole engram on an effort basis. It's fairly rapid. You don't have to ask him about the words or anything like that. All you're asking him is, what does he think about it? What's his self-determinism with regard to this? That's all you're interested in. Brings up the point that all there is, practically, is self-determinism. Of course, self-determinism is caused by some other counter-effort someplace in the past. But nevertheless, it's self-determinism. That's the stuff. It's only self-determinism. So that this goes off into a straight wire of this character. When did you agree to be ill? In short, when did you want to understand a contra-survival condition or action? Is the full thing. When did you want to understand it? That means when you went into apathy about it, by the way. Only those things which were dangerous have to be understood. Actually. So you can give a fellow straight wire. You can say, when in your life did you decide to be ill?
Oh, I never decided to be ill. I wouldn't think of such a thing.
How about school? Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember a time I said I was ill so I didn't have to go to school.
It's just fascinating how much effect this decision had on this fellow's life.
So he made this decision then, and you'll find him making decisions elsewhere. Then you'll find him making decisions to be ill so that he can propitiate somebody. Some other little kid's ill, so he decides he'll be ill. Some other little kid is stammering. He feels sorry for the other little kid, so he starts to stammer to show the other little kid he's in sympathy. He's decided to do that, however, of his own free will. What we've been looking at are these causes of these postulates, the physical forces that cause a person to make these decisions. But as far as straight wire is concerned, they only become effective, these past actions and decisions, when the preclear himself makes up his mind that they will be effective. That's the only way they can become effective upon it. So you only have to go back over his track and decide when he decided to be this, when he decided to like somebody, when he decided to talk to somebody, the first time he decided to talk to somebody, the first time he decided this, that, and the other thing. Now, when did you decide that what you are doing in life is hard work? When did you decide this? And the fellow say, And when I was a kid, they used to tease me about never working hard enough. Oh, yeah, I started to tell him how hard I worked. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This fellow hasn't done any work for days. Next morning, he goes down to work, bingity, 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 bing. You call this to his attention. You say, well, I noticed our little session did you some good. And he says, I didn't notice. Too easy. Now, that's the kind of straight wire. When did you decide to like the kind of a woman who is giving you trouble? When did you decide to like the kind of a man who is making your life miserable for you? When did you decide? They'll give you the moment when they decided first to feel affection for, next to agree with, next to communicate with this person with whom they are currently going. You've got it right there. But let's find now if they decided to go into ARC with anybody earlier on this same subject. You'll find a bucket full of them. First thing you know, what in the past we would have had cried off in gallon buckets
comes off of this pre-clear just whoosh, 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 whoosh. When did you decide you liked your grandfather? Oh, I can't get any visio on my grandfather at all. What is the physical effort of agreeing with your grandfather? Well, I don't get any visio on him at all. How can I give him? Well, just this. Will you get a physical effort now? What's your physical effort to agree with your grandfather? The fellow all of a sudden said, I sort of feel my head going like this. He said, can you feel how you agree with your grandfather now? Now can you feel how you communicate with your grandfather? Now can you feel how you are, how you like your grandfather and so forth? And you get this all turned up, see, nice. And the fellow said, well, I don't. Well, can you get your effort to disagree with your grandfather? Yeah, that's this way. The second you get that disagreement, you've come up from an apathy level, ARC, which you could call interbulated ARC or commanded ARC. You can get that rising up into actual ARC, and the reality turns on grandpa. That's what you've been fighting for a long time. Now, one of the sessions described briefly, the first part of the session, usually first session, something like that, you more or less work with the pre-clear to get efforts of various kinds. You finally get real efforts. You want to be careful that the pre-clear isn't just sitting there expanding and contracting his blood vessels for days, because this is not effort on his part. And he just thinks it's effort. And it's actual physical effort. By the way, one of those tricks is a fellow's got glasses on. If somebody was pushing you in the face, which way would you be pushed? Oh, that way. Well, can you get that motion? And the fellow foolishly will say, sure. Sure. And now can you get an effort to resist that motion? Yeah. Can you imagine wondering? Ow! Now, you just keep that effort up with him, until all of a sudden you've got this effort to resist this other motion. Just that simply, you can do it. Now he knows what an effort is. Anytime you ask him, if something were pushing you at this moment, which direction would you have to move? And he say, well, I have to move this way. You say, all right, now let's practice moving this way. That puts him out of valence, makes him the counter effort, you see. He moves that way, moves that way. Now, which way would you have to move to go against this? And he would say, oh, I wouldn't dare, or something like this. He's in apathy about it, all right? You just coax him to stand there and be pushed and like it. So he likes it. So he gets the effort to like it, which is no effort. Yeah, he's getting it good. And all of a sudden he says, I don't like it. All right, what motion would you have to make to resist it? Well, I'd sort of have to go like this. So you let him go like that. Well, anyway, you train him into doing it more or less. You get him running nicely in the first session. You turn on all these perceptics in the second session, makes him feel better. You run him out of the whatever place on the track he's very badly stuck, or release his major theta in the case of the third session. You get his conceptual levels on self-determinism, maybe fourth session, but you better be careful about the fourth session. I'd knock off on the third session myself, unless I were going to carry him through for four or five more days, because people get so they want to come back on this stuff, and they want to get some more processing, and you don't want to have to spend all of your time monkeying with one free clip. So, give him a yo-he after a certain space of time. As soon as, it's a good thing to knock off, after you've turned on his perceptics, or something like this. It's a good thing to knock off as soon as you turn off his chronic somatic. He's got a chronic somatic, been worrying him. Turn it off, drop him like a hot potato. Then you can always, when he comes back to you again, you can always say, well, you don't have your spinal curvature of the left orifice and anymore. And he says, no, I don't. This puts him not in apathy. He has to agree with you. So he comes on. you got something on him now. Better leave it that way. Amongst auditors, you'll probably want to go on beyond this point, so you just keep stripping out efforts, efforts, efforts within efforts within efforts within efforts, and exhausting them probably on an event level each time, cleaning them up very nicely, leaving the track in good shape, releasing this sort of thing, but don't expect to stay in concourse with the human race very long. It's a funny darn thing, but you get a different set of values doing this. I mean, this is what you've been working for a long time. They used to call them clears. You can't call them that now. On the first echelon, if a fellow got swamped up all the way, we would call him homo novus, unfortunately, because he's jumped the sort of an evolutionary gap. We're not quite sure what happens to him, but it'd be interesting. And then as soon as we penetrate the second echelon a little bit more, then we will have homo novus subprime one. They usually have to be a date on this. Right now I'm talking to you about homo novus of October. What is the date? 8th at 9 o'clock. I might get another idea before the lecture is over, and that would throw out all this stuff. Anyway. Fortunately, the direction is towards simplicity, and it is carrying along its own extrapolated line. You have to know all this if you really want a good command of the subject. It looks to me, however, as though we have done the complete circle, and we are in the second echelon, and you wouldn't be worried about what theta really is anyhow. We can go sailing off and sit down and worry about that one for months or weeks or something before we solve it. That's a fact. As far as the MEST, theta-MEST relationship is concerned, it appears to be buttoned up. I know I've asked the research auditors. They seem to understand about it. And if they understand about it, I guess you can. Should be very simple. Not much trouble. It is a bit of a compliment that, in view of how long it took to process somebody with old techniques, that anybody hung on at all, except you could get results. And you got results. Well, that's fine. But what you mainly got was experience. You're never going to see phenomena like this again. You won't have to look at it. Probably nobody else will. Another thing that's going to happen is those auditors that pan out on these new techniques know their subject well, passed an examination in the mathematics of Dianetics and so forth. We're trying now to see if we can't secure some means of securing a doctorate. That's not a promise. That's just something that may be shortly in the offing on it. I am very happy to be able to give you this material. I want to see all of you go back with a good, solid grip on it. The best way to do that is to get it working for you. Therefore, we've arranged daytime processing, supervised processing, and book self-analysis processing with the new card in an effort, perhaps, to send you back come this Saturday morning, a little higher level of reality, a little bit better grip on what's occurring, and certainly, I should hope, without any of your glasses and other junk that you insist on hanging around, glasses, trusses. It's a very very much of a compliment that you came here to Wichita. And starting in with this next hour, we just sail with these axioms straight on through, and I'll leave it up to the boys to keep you pepped up in the daytime sessions on how you effort process. And if any of you go into a spin, well, I think we can afford an auditor's time, 10, 15 minutes to get you out of one. If any of you think you're going into high manics or something like that, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. Actually, effort processing winds a guy up in a permanent low apathy, he thinks, for minutes, and then it hits him into a what he thinks is going to be a terrifically high manic, and then it goes. You go all over the tone scale, but the tone scale is 40.0 down to at least -3. And we're using the whole tone scale now. All of it. We knew by extrapolations that there was this much tone scale. Well, I don't want to see any of these low tone fours going out here Saturday. Okay, let's take a break for about 10 minutes, and then we'll get back to the subject.